Good morning, my name is Simon. I'm a member of the 10 o'clock service. And it's my joy to be able to read today's passage, which is Daniel chapter 7. It's wonderful that we are united in our studying series, no matter what service we've been attending, that we've been moving through Daniel and being challenged to think how Daniel's been living in God's faithfulness through it. So we're reading Daniel 7 in its entirety, and if we receive it, what's been coming through, we will have it, the Bible device. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the other, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims, and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. The horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. The books were opened. Then I continued to watch, because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. As I approached one of those standing there and asked the meaning of all this, so he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, and most terrifying, with its teeth of iron and bronze claws, the beast that had crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head, and about the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favour of the holy people of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale. I kept the matter to myself.
Thanks, Simon, so much. Friends, welcome. It is such a joy to see you here today, and it is such a thrill, is it not, to be together, four congregations, one parish, here, celebrating and giving thanks to our great God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great opportunity for us to see and hear what the Lord is doing amongst us as he builds his church, and I hope you will be encouraged, and I hope you have been encouraged already today. Can I invite you please to keep Daniel chapter 7 in front of you? It has an important message for us this morning. And as we open God's words, let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we think about the year that has just passed and as we prepare for the year ahead, please remind us of the immense privilege it is to be members of Jesus' kingdom. Teach us how to serve him more faithfully today. We ask these things in the strong name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends, as we gather today, one big church family, united across our services, across our ministries, and across our generations, I want to invite us all to pause for a moment and ask the question, what is the foundation on which we stand as a church community? What is the foundation on which we stand as a church community? 2025 for you may have been a year of highs. It may have been a year of lows personally. It may have been a year of highs or lows in your faith. Whatever the case, I want to ask, who holds us? Who secures us? Who guarantees our future? Here in his word, the Lord gives us a simple answer. Not a program, not a pastor, not a plan, but a person. Jesus Christ, the glorious risen Son of Man. And here in Daniel chapter 7 today, one of the most breathtaking chapters in the entire Old Testament, the Lord lifts our eyes to see reality as it truly is. A reality that is bigger than the headlines. A reality that is bigger than our anxieties. A reality that is stronger than our fears and clearer than our circumstances. A reality where Christ, our risen Saviour, is enthroned. A reality where his kingdom is everlasting. And my prayer as we ponder this chapter this morning is simple, that as we think about the year past and as we look to the year ahead, our church, St. Stephen's Normanhurst, would be anchored afresh in the glory and in the majesty and in the power and supremacy and authority of Jesus Christ. And as we look at this passage, let me highlight four vital things that it teaches us. The first is this: when the world looks chaotic, do not despair. Now, for context, these later chapters of Daniel are a series of visions. The timing is not chronological, and verse 1 in chapter 7, for example, says that this vision that Daniel records for us actually took place in the time of Belshazzar, before Babylon fell. You recall that happened back in chapter 5. And these visions are recorded for us in vivid, imaginative language. Vivid, imaginative language. And the purpose of this kind of material in Scripture is to paint reality in big brush strokes, rather like the book of Revelation in the New Testament, to convey memorably that while life can be frightening, the Lord is always in charge. And that is what we see in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7 opens not on a quiet morning with a coffee and a devotional book, but it opens in the middle of a storm. Verse 2, if you have your text in front of you, in my vision I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Daniel sees winds whipping up from all directions, stirring a sea into a picture of chaos. What does this represent in Scripture? Images of a chaotic sea often capture life in our world. You'll catch similar images in the book of Revelation, and that is the case here. And we feel the reality of this even in Australia, don't we? Even in our comparably calm society, we feel the fragility of our world. We feel the uncertainty of the future. Indeed, if I asked you this morning to draw a picture that describes life for you this year, how many would draw a picture that looks like this? Serene tropical waters. Any takers for your life in 2025? Serene, plain sailing, no troubles whatsoever. Idyllic, in fact. Rather, would it not look a bit more like this? Head in hands, concerns, anxieties, worries. In Daniel's time, it was the same. Living under the rule of foreign powers, God's people experienced upheaval on every side. And so images like this perfectly describe life in our world today. And into this context, the Lord gives Daniel a vision. Not a comforting Hallmark type card type vision, but it's a vision to help God's people stand firm. Indeed, the vision actually grows more disturbing before it gets better. Take a look. In verse 2, Daniel sees four beasts rising from this sea, one after another. They are monstrous and they are terrifying. Verse 4, he sees a winged lion rising from the chaos. Verse 5, he sees a ravenous bear. Verse 6, he sees a four-winged leopard. And verse 7, he sees a fourth beast, utterly horrifying, with iron teeth, crushing and devouring all before it. What do these images represent? What do these beasts represent? Well, we are familiar with worldly powers being associated with beasts, are we not? Suppose we were to see a cartoon of a bear fighting an eagle. What might that represent? Russia fighting America? Or we might see a springbok fighting a wallaby. We know that as code for a rugby match between South Africa and Australia. Or suppose even we were to see a kangaroo flattening a cowering blue lion on the canvas. That might be akin to what's happening in the cricket as we speak. We know this imagery, and it's the same here. In verse 16, we are actually told that these beasts represent four kingdoms rising from the chaos. And we're going to see this more in weeks to come, but this was a time, in Daniel's time, it was a time of huge upheaval on the world stage. As these kingdoms rose, armies of up to a million people lined up, facing each other, battling for world supremacy, driven by greed and violence and power. The word beastly is the perfect way to describe these regimes. Most commentators are agreed that the kingdoms represented in Daniel chapter 7 in its vision here are Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And in their time, these regimes rose one after the other, sweeping all before them. Closer to our time, if we were to watch a highlight reel of the 20th century, for example, if we were to watch the whir and the crunch of steel war machines, soldiers by the tens of thousands marching across the earth, the Berlin Wall, the Russian gulags, the horrors of Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, Ukraine, Gaza today, it too would look beastly. So Daniel's vision describes life as God's people have known it in every age. And in such a world, sometimes we can find ourselves wondering, Lord, are you still on your throne? Do you still see? Do you still care? Is everything going to plan? And that is where Daniel 7 speaks a powerful word today. Because the beasts and the churning sea do not have the last word. So the second vital thing that Daniel 7 highlights is when the world looks chaotic, heaven's throne stands secure. You see, just when the beasts seem overwhelming, in Daniel's vision, the scene changes completely. In a blink, the camera angle shifts from the chaos of earth to the dazzling, calm throne room of heaven. Verse 9, Daniel says, "As I looked, their thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." So in this picture of beastly chaos, Daniel sees the Ancient of Days, the God who has ruled from all eternity in the center of the scene. He is clothed in white, symbolizing his righteousness and his holiness. He is seated on a fiery throne, symbolizing his justice and his matchless power. Countless angels adore him. He sits serenely as sovereign judge of all, and books are opened before him. What a glorious, glorious picture. The message it conveys is unmistakable. Human kings may look all powerful, but heaven is not impressed. God is not threatened. His purposes are not shaken. Every beastly empire rises only because God allows it. Every ruler breathes only by his permission. Every injustice is recorded in his books. Indeed, in one simple sentence, Daniel says in verse 11, the beast was slain. And in verse 29, regarding the last of these kingdoms, we read that the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. No battle, no struggle, no tension. Just in an instant, all worldly powers are effortlessly overcome by the Ancient of Days. That is the message. And dear friends, as we consider the year that has just passed, and as we look to the year ahead, we must know that this is the God who rules our lives. This is the God who rules this church. This is the God who rules the year 2026 before you and I have even stepped into it. Daniel's vision assures God's people, when earthly powers roar, heaven is not anxious. When the world rages, heaven is not rattled. When the church feels small, heaven is not concerned. This is the foundation we need, the church. the foundation we need in our lives. The Ancient of Days is on his throne, and not one thing will ever dethrone him. But the vision goes further still, because the third vital thing Daniel 7 highlights is when the world looks chaotic, God's Messiah reigns. You see, into this throne room, into the presence of the Ancient of Days, there now comes a figure, verse 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Dear friends, can we see it? Can we see who this Son of Man is? In many ways, this is the moment that all Scripture bends towards, and this figure of the Son of Man is a figure that Scripture, from this point, returns to again and again and again. Who is this Son of Man? Well, the rest of Scripture confirms him to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, as we read the Gospels, if you were to flick through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you would find that the term Son of Man is Jesus' most common way of describing himself. In Matthew 26, for example, Jesus said of himself, as he looked forward to his resurrection and return, he said, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Other parts of the New Testament say the same thing. Acts 7 pictures the Son of Man risen and ascended. Revelation 1 pictures the Son of Man, Jesus, walking amidst his people. And each time the title is used of Jesus in the New Testament, it is saying Jesus is the King whom Daniel saw. Jesus is the King whom Daniel saw in his vision of Daniel 7. Peering into the future, the Lord is showing Daniel here that amidst the chaos of earthly kingdoms, a day was coming when God would establish a kingdom of justice and peace. Amidst the chaos of earthly kingdoms, God would establish his Messiah over all. In his life and ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ showed us glimpses of this future kingdom. Jesus strode through Palestine with power and with might, speaking and acting with authority and wisdom and grace, healing the sick, curing the lepers, the deaf, the blind, the infirmed, exerting power over nature, over evil, and even over death itself. As he did, he gave us a taste of heaven on earth. He gave us a taste of what life will be like in the eternal kingdom that is pictured for us prophetically here in Daniel chapter 7. It is the exact reverse of all the beastly earthly kingdoms depicted in Daniel 7, a place where there will be no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain. Dear friends, what we must grasp today is that this is our King. This is our King. As in Daniel's time, so in ours. This is the one our church belongs to, the one who holds the future, the one who quietens every fear. Risen and returning soon, Jesus Christ is the glorious Son of Man. Given that that is the case, the fourth vital thing to highlight today is to ask, how then should God's people live? If the Son of Man is ruling, how must this affect our lives? Let me offer a few brief implications. Firstly, we enter the coming year with confidence, not fear. We enter the coming year, 2026, with great, great, great confidence, not fear. Some of us, I know, are natural worriers. Is that you? Natural worrier? We look at our world and we feel uneasy. We look at our lives and we feel fragile. We look at our church and we fear for the future. But Daniel 7 proclaims a crucial truth. It says, do not fear, your King reigns. Yes, the world is messy. Yes, the church faces challenges in Australia and across the world. And ministries face ups and downs. But what we must remember is the Ancient of Days is seated. The Son of Man is ruling. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, verse 14 says. Therefore, we walk into 2026 with courage, for Christ reigns over all things. Secondly, we live as citizens of an eternal kingdom. You see, because Jesus Christ reigns, and because his kingdom is the one true reality that will last, this means we don't measure success the way the world measures success. We don't chase identity the way the world chases identity. We don't fear loss the way the world fears loss. We are members of a kingdom that will never perish. It will never spoil. It will never fade or pass away. We share a gospel that lasts. We persevere in ministries that last. We give to a cause that will last. We build relationships that will last. We are citizens of an everlasting kingdom. That reality defines our lives. Thirdly, we persevere in serving our King. Dear friends, the knowledge that Jesus, the Son of Man, is risen and returning and has given us his Spirit energizes Christian service. Let me say that again. The knowledge that Jesus Christ is risen and returning soon energizes Christian life and service. We know our King sees. He knows. He remembers. He rewards. That knowledge frees and empowers us to serve faithfully and gladly today. It frees and empowers us to serve with hope and endurance, knowing that our labour in the Lord is not in vain. And fourthly, Daniel 7 urges us to yield our lives in worship of Christ the King. And here I simply want to highlight perhaps the pinnacle of Daniel's vision. Can we see it? What is the goal of this great vision that is given to Daniel? What is the outcome that this vision is intended to call forth in God's people? Verse 14 has the answer. Can you see it? What is the goal? Verse 14. Worship is the goal. Verse 14 says, the Son of Man was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. That is the end point of Daniel's vision. It is a vision that is intended to drive us to our knees in thanks and joy and praise. The great Westminster Catechism asks the question, what is the chief end of humanity? And the answer that it gives, even so many centuries ago, it says the chief end of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Or in the words of Daniel chapter 7, it is to fall on our knees in worship with people from every tribe, nation, and language before the risen Son of Man. That is the focal point of Daniel 7, the end point of our lives in 2025 and 2026. Our highest good, brothers and sisters, is to glorify and to worship Christ. That is the purpose of all of our ministries. This is the place that our souls will find rest in the coming year, on our knees in worship and adoration of Christ, the risen Son of Man. You know, I vividly recall the Twin Towers coming down. Do you? Some of you, it's possible, maybe too young, or slightly too young to remember that defining event, but I remember it vividly. I remember coming home one night from Bible study, and I remember the phone rang about 11 p.m. and it was my older brother saying, "Mate, you have got to turn on the TV and see this." And together we watched as that second plane flew into the World Trade Center in New York, and both of them came crashing down in about half an hour. We could not believe what we were seeing. I remember watching in 2008 as stock markets crashed and asset prices tumbled, turmoil on world markets, the global financial crisis. Turn on the TV tonight and we will see turmoil again across our world. Brothers and sisters, the sea is churning and the beasts are rising still today. How then are we called to live in the coming year in light of this? Well, we walk forward in thanks for all that the Lord has and will do in our lives and ministries. But more than that, in a world like ours, whether the year ahead will be one of highs and lows, challenges or triumphs, the realities of Daniel 7 must provide a firm anchor for our soul. We belong to the King who is reigning. By grace, he has made us members of his kingdom, a kingdom that will never pass away. He has sealed us. He has made us his own. By his Spirit, nothing can snatch us from his hand. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, I implore you, I encourage you, I invite you to let these truths anchor you securely in the year ahead. We have so much to celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, please capture our hearts with the glory of the risen Jesus. Lift our eyes above earth's chaos to the calm of heaven. Give us courage for the year ahead. Give us strength for every ministry and joy in every circumstance. Fix our eyes on Christ until we see him face to face. We ask in his name. Amen. Friends, we do have so much to be thankful for.